All right. Welcome out to the test episode of their extremely shaky test episode of We Didn't Start the Podcast. My name is Anne.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are sisters who the premise here is that we are starting a history podcast, an opportunity for us to learn about history through the lens of a favorite song of ours and a favorite band, which is We Didn't Start the Fire, originally by Billy Joel and covered by Fall Out Boy. And, I would just like to temper everybody's expectations. It's not that we're not going to do any research, but don't expect, like, to cite us on your paper.
Yeah, most of my information comes from Wikipedia.
This is an opportunity for us to, learn something new and, like, do some self-learning and then share our knowledge and our memories of the events, again, through the lens of our favorite song, which is, kind of how art is supposed to work. It's supposed to inspire you to do new things or learn new things, and this song has inspired us to go and learn about all the events talked about in the lyrics of these two versions of the song.
Yes. So, looking at the original one by Billy Joel, released that one in, 1989, right?
And yes.
Upon reviewing those lyrics, I mean, maybe 50% of them I know what they're referring to, because that's well before my time, and then some of the things he references are well, well before my time.
Yeah, whereas Fall Out Boy, I've lived through, I think, everything in that song. Yeah. I think you have most of it as well.
Yeah, I'm 80% of it. I know the other 20%, a quick Google, and I think I can get it. I'll remember what they're talking about. But yeah, so the older version, the original version, will be a lot more interesting in a way, because, yeah, it is a lot of stuff that I didn't know about or have not even thought about since history class in high school or middle school or whatever. So
for me, I'm actually really familiar with the old Billy Joel song. It's one of the songs that I loved listening to as a teenager and in college, because it just taps into that 90s anarchist spirit that the early aughts, where we started to realize that we couldn't trust adults and the police and the systems around us and just wanted to burn everything down. So it kind of
right
is just all this stuff. But it also has a bit of optimism too, because not everything in the headlines are necessarily inherently bad. So it kind of gives you this sense of we have lived through so much as a human race.
Yeah.
And it's on the one hand, I can feel the blood draining out of my face and some of the seriousness of these events. And at the same time, it's wow, look how, I don't know, just look at how much the world is, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think the concept that the original one has, and also just in general, the whole "we didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning," that idea that, yeah, things have just always going on constantly everywhere. Yeah, who's to blame? I don't know. Who's to blame for all the stuff going on? But it's not us.
Right. Yes, we all just want to pass the buck forward or backwards.
Right. Yeah, we're either blaming the older generations or blaming the younger ones.
Yeah.
In either case. But
let's see. Well, we've talked a bit about Billy Joel. I mean, are you familiar with any other works of his?
So if someone told me to name a Billy Joel song before starting this podcast, I would have not been able to name anything. But I mean, I did look up songs he's done. I mean, I know these songs, Piano Man, Uptown Girl.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I know these. Did I know it was Billy Joel? No. I wouldn't have been able to ever put, it's just one, I guess, not my style of music, not something I put, listen to casually, not my go-to.
Also, mm-hmm. all of them are well before I was born. And so, yeah, Billy Joel, I know he's a common name among the greats. But yeah, didn't really know him. Didn't really know anything. I mean, I'd heard the song before, We Didn't Start the Fire. I remember hearing that and singing that as a kid, not knowing anything of what it meant. But yeah, so I don't know anything about Billy Joel or what he was like when he put out the song or, you know, because all musicians, I feel like, go through different phases of what they are just like different phases of their style of music and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm a lot more familiar with Fall Out Boys, like their progression, because they started making music when I was, I mean, in elementary school, but because of my older brothers, I listened to a lot of pop rock or emo music pop, or punk, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, Billy Joel, I'm sorry, but...
You know, I'm much the same, and like, again, I'm very... Like, again, he's just... Not entirely of my generation, so it's like I've heard all his songs and like many of his songs, but I don't necessarily follow his career and attach his name to the songs. Mostly when I think of Billy Joel, my gut reaction is, oh, the guy who played the dog in Oliver and Company. Why should I worry? Why should I care? Right. Like, so I have positive feelings about him, but like, yeah, I am very sorry. I it's not that you've not contributed to the music of the world, Billy Joel. Like I said, in fact, we do like your songs.
Yes, big fan of the songs.
But Fall Out Boy was kind of, again, like the style of music I like, released at the time when I was consuming music and oh, so angry. Like my teenage soul was just angry. Like that's what I remember most about my teenage.
And then they
continued
to
all the time.
They continued to make music into my angry adulthood, and they continue.
But you could bop along to your anger.
It's fun anger now because I have these great songs to listen to.
just put on my songs, Know What You Did in the Dark, and for We Didn't Start the Fire, is there a particular lyric or like moment that kind of stuck out to you in the song? I don't know, like it's weird to say a favorite lyric or, but
I mean, all of them, like when you just look at the lyrics and you're just reading through it, I mean, yeah, it's just this massive list of just huge things that happen in our society and culture and world. Like Iron Man is a lyric, and that, you know, encompasses very many, like that's a huge part of a franchise. Like it's just a big thing. And then obviously there's like a lot more serious ones and modern ones and old ones. I think what stood out to me the most is just like the lines, like the, what would you call it? I'm not a music person, so forgive me, but like the whole, we didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fighter. No, we didn't light it, but we're trying to fight it. I think that's what like resonates with me the most, is because I think as a kid when I heard the Billy Joel version, I don't know, like We Didn't Start the Fire. I like as a kid hearing that, I like visioned a very literal fire, and I was just like, what is this song about? Like I didn't even know. It just seemed kind of like too anarchy for me as a child. So like I didn't quite connect to it or anything, but then when I heard like the Fall Out Boy version, I like earlier you mentioned like it kind of has like a tinge of hope to it. And I like kind of get that with the Fall Out Boy version when I heard them say the like, we didn't light it, but we're trying to fight it kind of thing. And like relating to that, especially as like an adult now where it's like, we are trying to like control these situations that are going on that are completely out of our control. And like, so I like related to that part a lot more than I expected myself to. And then because some of the things are like older and like, some of them, like Pokemon, like is a happy memory. It also felt very like nostalgic, which is such like a millennial thing. I feel like everything we do is based on nostalgia and
reliving those happy moments because we're all just like, what is going on? What is life? But maybe that's just me. I don't know.
No, I agree. Like, I don't know if how much of it is how Fall Out Boy performs it for me or like just the fact that there is a quote sequel to this song, but yeah, like
that like relates
but hearing
more.
That yeah, like the hearing the chorus now, it does feel more like we can kind of weather through.
Yeah.
Whereas like definitely when I first heard the original version of We Didn't Start the Fire, when it just existed at its own,
yeah,
like especially when it ramps up to like that final stanza,
right,
and it, like it changes, you know, it goes up a tone, it's like AIDS, crack, homeless kids, and I'm
yeah,
like the, yeah, and when you're listening to that and you realize, oh shoot, like those are all things that like have shaped how I grew up and like we are still dealing with, and it like
yeah,
and the when and it talks about the fire, it'll still go on and on, and then you're
yeah,
just like, oh, like hot, like not that this song is why I have depression, but like
right,
when I talk about why I do have depression, like exhibit A, look at this world. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think listening to the older version, since, yeah, so many of those things are still problems or the fallout of those things is still going on, it does feel less hopeful and less like exciting in a way to listen to. Like, it's still
right,
a great song and all of that, but yeah,
it's important. It's important for me, at least, to occasionally feel those uncomfortable things.
Right, like, for sure. It's great to be aware that, oh yeah, AIDS is still around. Oh yeah, like, these things are still fires that are burning, and we, like,
yeah,
they tried to
fight it. Oh yeah,
remember
when the government released crack on purpose, like, to kill a bunch of people?
Yeah, no,
that they
don't remember
yeah,
that, but... Can't wait to talk more about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the modern version has that twinge of hope because we're like, maybe we can fix these things. But, you know, 20, 30 years by now or from now, someone else will release a re-edition of the song and they'll look back at the Fall Out Boy version and like be like, QAnon is still a problem. Or, you know, like,
oh gosh,
these
yeah,
problems are still fires burning. We have too many fires.
I swear if like the next update of this song also has still more war in Afghanistan, it, like
yeah,
it just continues.
Oh
through,
gosh.
I'm just like, poor Afghanistan. Like, good gosh, those
yeah,
poor people.
They need a break for sure. It's been a lot.
So let's mm-hmm, see. This is kind of a test episode, so
yeah,
it'll probably be a very short one. But
mm-hmm,
maybe we are here again. We love Fall Out Boy a lot.
Yeah.
What are some things about Fall Out Boy that like appeal to you, that you love about them?
It's a good question. I mean, I think my earliest memory of listening to a Fall Out Boy song is probably like riding on the bus home from elementary school. I had a burned disc and it mainly had Linkin Park songs on it, but it did have, I'm trying to find which one it was exactly. I mean, it was one of, like, Dance Dance, probably. Yeah, 2005 is when they made that one. Dance Dance was probably on there. But yeah, riding home from the bus, I had a Walkman. And yeah, I would have to hold it, still, so it wouldn't skip. And I would listen to all the, yeah, emo songs on this burnt disc from that I just got from the computer that, you know, Tom and Chris had downloaded or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just, like, this random collection and... And yeah, there are always like a few Fall Out Boy songs here and there. And then I think when like I really was like, I like this band and was like, not comfortable necessarily, but like willing to admit that to other people was probably when I was in college when they put out the album Save Rock and Roll.
Oh yeah.
And they did the Save Rock and Roll song with Elton John. And that was the first one where I was like, oh yeah, this is great. And then that whole album, I would listen to like the whole thing every time I went to the gym and like as I walk into class, like that album, I think really was when I was like, I'm reborn as a Fall Out Boy, like true stan. Well, not stan, I wouldn't go that far, but as a true fan. And like, and then I re-downloaded all their older ones that I liked and the best hits, even though they're still coming out with hits. And then, yeah, Immortals, which was Big Hero 6, like,
yeah, yeah,
that was crazy. hearing that. And then, yeah, they just, like, continued. American Beauty, American Psycho was another one I listened to a lot in college. I mean, yeah, just, I think I just relate to, because, like, they're not super, I don't even know what you would categorize it as. Because, like, I want to say emo, but emo is such, like, a...
It's kind of a poppy emo. Like, yeah. I think officially they call themselves, like, well, I guess officially they're a rock band, but I
right,
think
yeah.
pop punk is kind of their...
Yeah. And so I think I like that because, I mean, pop music is popular music. Everyone, like, you should never...
Because people like it.
Feel like, yeah. Like, people like it for a reason. So, I mean, there's that aspect that gets just great music. And then, yeah, I definitely have always had a bit of an edge or... angst or emotional or I don't all of that, so anything that's kind of edgy I always relate to. Like, I yeah, like I said, I listened to a lot of Linkin Park growing up, and what was the other one, The Used, and well, then I went through a phase Hawthorne of like
did Chris and I get you into Hawthorne Heights and Straight Light Run? Oh, and all yeah, those
and Yellow yeah. Card, like yeah. So much Yellow Card,
which, so much Yellow Card.
Yeah, so much, which is great. They were great too, but they didn't quite have, I think the violin made it a little harder to be like, this is rock, this is cool.
But
one of my favorite things about Fall Out Boy though is recently Mike, my son Charlie, is into Spider-Man, and there's like the on Disney Plus there's that Spider-Man kid show where they're like kid Spideys, and they do the intro for it. And the
oh, really?
Yeah. They do the intro for that Spider-Man show. And it's so fun. And I'm just like, every time I hear it, I'm like, I'm glad you did that, guys. I don't know if that was a tough decision to do this child's show, but I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad you did it. Because every time I hear it now, when it's playing in the background, I'm like, yes, Charlie's getting quality exposure to music now, and he gets to watch Spider-Man. Win-win.
But you guys get to enjoy it together.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little more bearable to watch the children spider people. But anyways,
yeah, no, one thing I love about Fall Out Boy is like they have a really good control of like imagery in their lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they say things like eyes like broken Christmas lights, and like they just really are good at conjuring up a visual that's visceral and like very poetic in a way that like doesn't always, like some of their songs I'm like, what is this like when I look at it on the paper, I'm like, what the heck is this like about, what are you saying? But like at the same time, like good poetry, when you see those visuals and you know you feel what it means to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you can kind of, you can take whatever their meaning was and make it, you know, relate to that, or yeah, you can kind of create your own meaning. One song that I kind of have that kind of experience with is Novocaine, which I think is from their American Beauty, American Psycho one, which like Novocaine, I have no experience with Novocaine. Don't know much about Novocaine.
You've never gotten
I've never
ever.
Yeah, I've just, but like the feeling of being numb, definitely get that. And you know, like all of, as they like go on, and yeah, the lyrics are just, I relate to them, even though yeah, like I'm not, I've never done drugs like that, I've never,
right, yeah, yeah,
you know, I'm not Novocaine numb, but I, yeah,
but the
I mean,
feeling
you can,
is one,
right?
Yeah.
You can interpret it whatever way you want to with whatever experiences you've had. But anyways, yeah,
I don't know. It just kind of reminds me of this interview, and like, go with me on this journey, everybody. It'll come back around. But this interview with one of the Backstreet Boys, I think it was Brian, and they were talking about the song "I Want It That Way," which,
yeah,
if you look at those lyrics. Like, what are they, like, it's grammatically correct, but what are they saying? Like, what do you mean you want it that way, but you don't want it that way? It's like, what the heck? And he says that, well, the producer who had written that song was, I think, from, like, Sweden or like, some European country and, like, you know, spoke fluent English, but, like, relates to English words a little differently. So the words had maybe a meaning to him, but like, right. But like, not necessarily to the, like, American audiences are going to look at that and be like, I don't understand. And yeah. So because of that, they had recorded a slightly different version of the song where they changed some of the lyrics to be like, no more lies, and like, you know, to make it make sense in a story sense. And they listened to the playback and they all kind of looked at each other and went, that song doesn't mean anything, even though like lyrically it technically has more meaning than the original lyrics. It doesn't mean a thing. Whereas the version of I Want It That Way that we now all know, like, has so much meaning to them personally, to the fans, to people who listen to it.
Oh, yeah. Iconic, you know. Like,
I hear it and I start bawling. Like, it takes on more meaning with every year. And, like, it's has been very fascinating for me. And I kind of find Fall Out Boy lyrics to be the same in that, like, these lyrics clearly meant something to them.
Right.
And it doesn't always necessarily, like, when I listen to Uma Thurman, I'm not entirely sure what's going on.
Yeah.
But when he starts singing about summer sex and CK Eternity, I'm like, I know exactly what that smells like. Like, you know, like, it just, it has meaning, even though I couldn't tell you specifically what that meaning. It taps into like an ephemeral sense. That's And I don't know. I like them a lot for that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not too like literal, but they're also not too like out of the world that you can't like make sense of it or relate to it or like they're in a sweet spot, which is cool.
Like all good poets find their sweet spot. And
with their newest album that came out, there's a popular song, Hold Me Like a Grudge, which I hear every now and then like the radio. The first few times I heard it, I'm gonna be honest, I like wasn't that amazed. I was like, okay, sounds like Fall Out Boy, cool. But like every time I hear it, I like get a little more into it and a little more like, okay, hold me like a grudge. And so it is kind of interesting that, as things change in your life and, you know, you relate to different parts differently and all of that. And it's pretty fun.
And I'm sure Mr. Billy Joel, you know, if we were of the same generation, your music would have hit us in a similar way.
Oh, like, for sure. No doubt. Yeah. I'm sure when that song came out, people were, you know.
I mean, and again, we're still singing to Piano Man.
Right. I mean, that song came out, 1989. I was born in 1994. So for me to have heard it as a child would have been the early 2000s, and people are still playing that song and still liking that song. And I'm sure, like, when our parents heard that song,
it spoke to things they were feeling and going through at the time. And
exactly, I'm sure they were like, oh yeah, those crazy things we went through like were real and happened, and these problems are going on still, and our kids might have to deal with these things. And I feel like music is always very provocative, and I feel like that was probably a song that, people were like, I can't believe you even mentioned that Red China, like, or, I think that's on there. You know, just things that you don't really talk about, AIDS and things, you know.
Yeah, and he has a lot of political songs and songs that tapped into the feelings of the nation.
Yeah.
Although, just for fun, have you seen the thing going around on, like, social media where people are like, what if the main character in Piano Man is actually in a gay bar and hasn't figured it out yet?
Okay, I haven't seen that, but...
Okay, yeah, the premise is, like, taking some of the lyrics, like, Davey, who's still in the Navy and probably will be, like, and, like, the guy who never had time for a wife, it's like... What if he's just not realized that he's been playing for a gay bar and like everybody loves him and is having a great, and he's just like, he hasn't figured it out yet. He's just playing along happily.
That would be funny.
I don't know. It was just something I saw. And like as they went through all the lyrics, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah. I just pulled up the lyrics and I'm looking at them and I'm like, yeah, okay.
sounds like a gay bar. Buying drinks for, he's buying drinks for me, and this is a man speaking, so yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The businessmen are getting stoned. Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, oh man, that was funny.
It totally could. It's just a nice, funny little subtext, since I think we're starting to come to the end of our show here.
Oh man. I wonder if he had that thought. I'm just kidding.
Who knows?
It's a secret message.
I feel like you'd get a laugh at it.
Yeah, hopefully.
if not, again, we're apologizing to you a lot on this show, Mr. Billy Joel. But
yeah, I mean, he doesn't talk about like women at all. Just
yeah.
Men
well, I mean, again, the, I think that kind of the time he was writing the song and like trying to evoke was a time where dudes got in there and you saw all walks of life. But let's face it, it is only in recent decades that women get to be a part of anything.
It's true.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I like when you take it all together, you're like, this could be an interpretation, a very valid interpretation of yeah. the song. Like, he's just not figured it out. They're all taking bets on when he's going to realize everyone's flirting with him.
Yeah. He said, is he on the same page or not?
And then they all ask, hey, man, what are you doing here?
Yeah. You've got us feeling all right.
Yeah. All right. Any final things to say about We Didn't Start the Fire, Billy Joel, Fall Out Boy, or anything?
Not really. I mean, yeah, I'm by no means a history person. And I mean, in general, this podcast thing is going to be pretty interesting to do in general. Because growing up, I was always the quiet one. Mm-hmm. Was it like a couple years ago, our Aunt Marcy came out to Colorado, where we were at the time, and like had lunch with us, with me and my husband and my kids and stuff. And she had her husband and one of the cousins. Anyways. And she was talking to me and she's like, yeah, when you were a kid, I didn't even know if you had a voice. So we just never heard you talk. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what to say to that. Other than that's accurate. I didn't talk ever to anyone. Yeah. And then she was like, it's nice to hear you talking now, though. And I was like, yeah, thank you. I've been working on it a lot.
But, oh my gosh, Marcy.
So, yeah, I mean, this will be just interesting.
Well, I'm glad to hear you've been working on it.
Yeah,
like.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I've always been one to like hear others' opinions and like form my own opinions, but just keep them in my head. Mm-hmm. And like part of that, I think, has been great because then like I've never had these concrete opinions where I'm like, this is what I believe. It's always been this mm-hmm. constant evolving, changing, growing thing. So it is kind of intimidating to be like, this is what I think on the subject, because it's always subject to change, because mm-hmm. I'm super open to someone correcting me or telling me that's not true or that's not right. You shouldn't say that, because
right.
I mean, I'm trying my best to, you know, have yeah. opinions that are respectful and all of those kinds of things. But yeah, I feel like people who talk a lot tend to stumble or make mistakes a lot, because you know, say what you're thinking, you're bound to say something wrong, whether it's like something you really believe in or not. Like, I don't know, it's
yeah.
impossible to not make that kind of mistake, I guess. So anyways, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I think in some parts of my life I'm very similar, like, just because it can sometimes feel safer and more respectful to just shut up and listen rather yeah. than to, I don't know, give everyone my hot takes and yeah. and then have to backtrack it when I find new information.
Okay.
But it's also important for me to, like, at times, like, actually let people know what I am thinking. So it's right. It's like that balance that we all have to find in life.
So early,
like,
in my marriage, that was a big problem, because I didn't share what I was thinking and I didn't share my opinions, and I had no opinions, because I was just like, well, what do you think? And he's like, I don't care what I think right now. Or, like, I already told you what I think. Like, I need you to tell me exactly what you're feeling and thinking. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Like, anyways, it's a lot better now. I'm a lot more be like, I don't like that. Or I do like that. Or let's not go there. Let's, you know.
So, right.
Constant evolution. One time, though, when I was in junior high, and or I want to say I was in junior high, Tom told me something, and it really stuck with me. And it was like, it was something along the lines of, oh, shoot, now I can't even think of it. But it was like, if you, it's better to not speak and have people wonder if you're an idiot than to speak and have people have no doubt that you're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, and, no, that's a famous quote, actually. Yeah, better to be silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Tom said that to me once when I was in middle school, and I, like, it stuck with me, and I, never spoke, never shared my opinions. Maybe people thought of me as a fool or whatever, but I didn't prove that I was one.
Kind of rich for Tom, our mutual brother, to say, because that man, like, never spoke.
Oh, I know. I mean,
until he, like, he, we got married, lived, and but, like, the the main thing people said at his wedding, it's like, I didn't know Tom could talk. Like,
how on earth did he get land a girl? You? Yeah, he can't even, you know. Anyways, it formed
a man who has never been thought a fool, I guess. or has only been thought of as a
he's
fool.
Probably, he's definitely been thought a fool, but he never
but he never proved it.
Never removed all doubt. But anyways, yeah, so that,
we love you, Tom. Sorry.
I don't know. These conversations will be interesting to force myself to say opinions and navigate that. And then also, yeah, I'm not a historian. I feel like, especially since having kids, my memory is gone. Like, I have the same conversations with people all the time now. I'm like, I think I already told you this story, but I'm just going to tell you again in case you didn't. But so, yeah, it'll be rough at times, I'm sure, where I have no idea what I'm talking about, no idea what I'm spewing out of my mouth. But I am excited for this adventure and to push myself out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Be vulnerable.
Yeah, I don't have mom brain as an excuse. Yeah. I'm just 10 years older than you and, like, already approaching my decrepitness. Like,
there are so many things that we remember that we don't need to remember, and so many things that we should remember that we don't remember.
And for some reason, the filing system is not great.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to, like I said, just take an opportunity to learn something new.
Yeah.
And to share some of our experiences and memories, because, again, age difference between us.
Yeah.
We have very different perspectives, I'm sure, on a lot of these things.
Yeah, some of these topics.
Yeah, like, I'm sure a lot of these will have, like, just bring out interesting topics for all of us.
Yeah.
And just different things. Like, gosh, it blows my mind, because, like, grandma lived through all of this, like, both versions of but dad's lived through a heck of a ton of this too. Like,
one time I was doing a long car ride with dad, like, from Canada to the US somewhere, and I was asking him about like, what it was like when JFK was shot. Like, what happened?
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I think I was in, like, elementary school, and it was in the morning, but they just sent us home. They said, something's happened, and, like, just send us all home. And then we found out, like, what was going on and stuff. And I was like, that's crazy. But yeah, he was just, like, a kid, so it probably, like, he said, like, he wasn't, like, as impacted by it, like, whoa, the president was shot, necessarily, because he was pretty young still, but.
Right, yeah.
It was something where it was like, oh, we got out of school, and, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, definitely, it would be fun to get him on here for, like, one of those kind of topics.
I would love to, like, I mean, I don't know if he'd necessarily want to talk about some of these things, but, like, just knowing, like, it hit me, like, when I was watching the movie Elvis, actually, like, oh my gosh, 1956, dad was born in, like, 52.
Yeah.
Dad was alive for segregation. like, I remember him once telling me, like, when he worked in the mines, he knew a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and, like, not that he was friends with him, but he knew someone who was, like, very open and proud about the,
that's,
like, it was just
crazy.
Like, ooh. And, like, knowing who dad is and who grandma was, like, that's not who they are as people.
Right.
But it still boggles my mind. Like, he lived in a time where, like, it was okay to...
Yeah, to have your neighbors like be
that,
like...
Do things like that.
Yeah, and you just kind of, in his like, position, just have to kind of be okay with it at that moment, you know?
Right, like, right. Like there is literally no law against it.
Right,
it's like,
yeah.
Like, dad lived through that. Like, and mom, too.
I mean, I could see dad lived being through. Like, well, they're not that bad, you know? Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Met a few like ones, you know, trying to, like, downplay it, but...
But, yeah, like, mom, like, she's never been, like, super vocal about politics and, like, what she voted for. But, right. Like, she was always very vocal about politics and, like, just how she lived her life and, like, buying me and Kara black Barbie dolls and things like that.
Yeah.
And, like, she's, like, she would never say, like, I'm voting for this party because this. But she would be, like, this is important, girls. Like
yeah.
That you grow up exposed to other skin tones and treating them fairly and, like.
Yeah. Well, I never had that experience necessarily with mom. But someone gave me the book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X, I was in college, which is a phenomenal book and, like, really insightful to that time and, like, the Black Panther movement and, like, you know, because he's so associated with that and, like, all of that was super interesting. And I had mom read it, too, and then we were able to, like, talk about it and...
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, I don't know, we had lots of cool conversations in that kind of way. And I remember her talking about how she went to, like... I think she said she went to a pretty urban high school that was kind of known for not, like, being very segregated, being inclusive in Chicago and stuff. And I remember I think she was always kind of proud of her black friends. And I don't know. There's a story about someone getting in a fight. And I want to say she got in a fight because of, like, some... racial stuff potentially. I'd have to reach. There was that book when she was in the hospital that someone got her that was like my favorite meal and, you know, all those questionnaires for her to fill out. And one was like, have I ever been in a fight? And mom was like, yes. And we asked her, we're like, what?
Yeah,
say this again. So we'll have to find that to see if there's more, like, because I just can't remember it, like, exactly what she's talking about. But yeah
It's like neither of them are perfect, but like I have a lot of like little things where that show me that like, oh yes, the 60s happened to both of them and they came out on the side of trying to be better.
Right. Like, they came out on like, we're gonna do our best and, you know, follow the church and it turned out okay for them. But mom's experience with the 60s. Very different than what dad probably experienced.
Right. Yeah, exactly. 60s. Like, and again,
teaching them very different things.
Right. And like, and dad grew up like on a farm in the boonies and mom grew up like in a city with her. Well, like her mom was from another country. Her mom was very white. But like her dad, the lawyer, who would have been very dialed in to all of these political things. Like, so
And very much a lecturer and, like, a teacher, you know, constantly probably finding opportunities to teach his children as mom would find opportunities to teach us.
Oh, gosh. So once we were watching Men in Black, and you know that movie opens up with, like, the situation of they're looking among the illegal immigrants for illegal aliens, but and the joke is they're looking for aliens from space. Like, she paused that movie, and when I was like, I don't understand. I don't get it. And was like, okay, so I need to teach you. You are an alien. Me and your father are aliens. And, like, this is what it means. Like, we are landed immigrants. And, like, that is what it means. And it's not bad. But you shouldn't call other people aliens because they might hurt their feelings.
Right.
It was like, we need to go through this now. And, like, I've never forgotten that. And, like, bless her, it changed how I viewed immigration,
so
especially
funny.
When I came to America and they had some very different ideas.
There's so many moments I pause movies too with my kids where I'm like, do you think what they said there is very nice? And they're like, no. And I was like, they're joking, but is it okay to say those kinds of jokes? You know, like,
yeah.
Oh man, mom.
Good for you.
I'm carrying on the tradition. Don't worry.
Gotta teach him when I can.
Right, right.
Oh, man.
Speak to them on their level.
Yeah. Cool. But yeah, let's just keep trying to fight these fires. We didn't light it. We're trying to fight it. We'll see what fires we reignite.
And we'll get better at this, people. I promise.